Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
It's Robert Gray bringing us back. My favorite blues man, 23 after the hour. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am a small business advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. The one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. And the new book, Third Ingredient, is thethirdingredient.com. That's with a number three. Having a great visit with our good friend, longtime Braintrust member, Quint Studer, author of the new book, Building a Vibrant Community. And he is the founder of Studer Community Institute, which is helping communities, especially small communities, strengthen themselves and sustain their success in the 21st century with 21st century approaches. That's what your new book's all about, Quint. And I want you to, one of the things you do with when you help communities, you help them with metrics, don't you? It's not any kind of black magic. You've got some real metrics for them, don't you?
Yeah, we do. That's been, I think, a big key to any success is to have a dashboard. And there's a sample in a book. They don't have to use that. But, you know, I got tired of people with anecdotal information. You know, every place I've ever done says, well, it's a great place to be if you want to have a family or this and that. But so we have metrics. You know, what is your wage index doing? How many new jobs are you creating? How many housing permits? What's your educational realm? And so it's a way to objectively see if you're making progress or not making progress. I would not have written the book if I didn't have metrics. So, for example, in our certain downtown area, that we use the same exact map. We went from $675 million of assessed property value in the last 5 or 6 years to $850 million, growth of 25.9. And, so that shows that we're creating tax dollars, and that was basically from people developing either new properties downtown or rehabbing old properties downtown. And we went from a pretty empty downtown to a downtown that is so full that now you can't rent space on the main drag. You have to go one block over, which is sort of neat, too. We got 400 residents that have now have moved or are moving downtown in the next couple of months. So that's one of the key things when you want to create a vibrant community. One of the tactics is people want a downtown, particularly young people want a downtown. Mm-hmm. They want to move back from the big cities, but they don't want to lose that vibrancy. So in my book, I talk about what are the four key elements you have to create downtown to keep talent.
Mm-hmm. What give us, have you got an example of some cities that have really done a great job with this, some towns across America that you know of that have done a great job of turning the economy around?
Yeah, the ones that we visited, and we can start up north there with Beloit, Wisconsin has actually done a nice job. The Hendricks family led that, and they've done some great work. Janesville, Wisconsin is another one now that I think is really sort of moving up quickly. They've created a town square out of really nothing. They've got some nice movement downtown. Then when we looked at towns, we traveled to write the book and study it. Portland, Maine's another great place. You go to Asheville. We learned a lot from Asheville, North Carolina, a lot of our techniques
right.
for small business development, so on. Savannah, Georgia, Charleston. These are all places that have really done some remarkable things. And when you talk to urban planners, and we brought 14 of the top urban planners in the United States to Pensacola for what we call civic conversations, because we also wanted to educate the community. Most of them talk about big cities, and, you know, big cities sort of have a staff to do it. They've got a way to do it. So my book
and budget, and they got big budgets, too.
Yeah. So mine's built for these smaller communities that are, you know, 100,000, 150,000 or less.
Right.
You know, we've worked with places of 7,000 because
wow.
you got to keep your talent. And Putnam, Florida is a place that's trying to, we're working with them to figure out what to do. But you have to, you know, it's in my book, and you've read my books. They're pretty much real blueprints. And then we host people here in Pensacola because we think we have a learning lab. People can come here and walk the streets. We have again, people coming in here next month. We have two communities coming in, and they can sort of see about our business challenge, see the training we do, and you know, we can share the success and we can share some of our misses. So it's sort
you know, one of the things that I see communities doing is worrying that they don't have an interstate, when the truth is they need to quit thinking about pavement and they need to start thinking about bandwidth. They need to be bringing bandwidth and internet bandwidth into their communities, because a lot of companies, you could have a factory, you could have a big operation coming into the town, you know, an hour away from you, but they may have very well-paid people that they'll allow to work from home for a couple of days a week. And those people might not mind coming over to your town to buy their home and to live and work at home a couple of days, but they've got to have the bandwidth, don't they?
Yeah, Lafayette, Louisiana is a great example of that. I think they're probably the most connected city in the United States right now. And that's exactly right. The other thing you have to look at, you're trying to.
And by the way, Quinn, you got to learn how to. You got to say that right. It's Lafayette.
Lafayette.
No. It's Lafayette. Lafayette. You got to say it right. That's easy. Go ahead. Wrap it up.
No, I think what you have to look at when you're looking at any of these things is people have been mistaken. They think new roads and new interstates do it. It really doesn't. In fact,
yep.
If you do this right, most cities have an infrastructure ready. You try to do your infill. So when I talked about how we've raised our taxable property here in our downtown, there's been no new roads, no new poles,
right.
No new
right.
pipes.
Yep.
If you build your infrastructure, it's a lot more economically smart. And once people come
hey,
here,
hey Quinn, I gotta wrap it up. We're
gonna
get you back again real soon. Good job today. Come back soon, will you?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.